Hey up, you saucy lot. It's only me, Rob. So you attentive listeners will have noticed that last week I made a mistake. I messed up the Wheel of Features feature AI Jukebox Jam. I gave them a completely different question to the one that we had the week before. So I need to write this wrong. Here is episode 63's question. The song expresses unconditional love, devotion, and selflessness, where every action is motivated by love for another person. And the answer to that question was Bryan Adams' Everything I Do It For You. Congratulations if you got it right. Commiserations if you didn't. And I'm sorry for the mistake. Anyway, enjoy this week's episode.
Evening, boys.
Evening, Sally.
Welcome to The Chatting, your local podcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Kirk.
I'm Mark.
And I'm
the other Mark.
3 pints, Sally. And what are you having?
Yeah, get me a Mai Tai.
Cheers. Offer to Mova.
Evening, gentlemen.
Good evening, everybody.
Evening, hello.
Evening.
You all right?
Yes.
Gentlemen. Haven't been called that for a while.
I know, right?
I've got a question for you boys before we start anything. And it's a really random question.
Okay? Excited. Go
all
for
right.
it.
So I've just started watching something. It's quite an old TV show. And when I've started watching it, it's really like, well, I'm not going to say that because then it'll vary your opinion on it.
Okay.
Have you ever watched a show called Fat Friends?
Yes.
Yes.
No. Yeah.
That's where James
BBC
Corden
one.
And Lisa Riley.
Ruth Jones.
Yeah, and Lisa Riley, who used to be in Emmerdale, I think, wasn't it?
I don't know. I've only watched season one. She weren't in season one.
Oh, right. She might not be there. I might think something else.
But are you sure you're not getting mixed up with Ruth Jones?
No, definitely not getting mixed up with her. But,
okay.
But I might have just got mixed up with the programme that she was in, but for some reason I thought she was.
Anyway. She might be, because there's 4 seasons of it. I've only watched season one. So
and she's fat, so she will be in it.
Okay. Well, what's your question, Kirk?
Well, my question is...
Yes?
Have you ever seen it? Have you watched
No,
have you
I've
watched
not.
It?
Helen used to watch it.
So if somebody on what you know about it and the fact that, you know, Ruth Jones in it and James Corden, that's where they met and stuff like that. If you had to put it under a category, what category would you put it under? Like,
I'll sit this one out because I've not watched it.
First, a comedy.
Wouldn't it be a sitcom?
No, it's not a sitcom. No, definitely not. But I would have said, I suppose it's situational comedy. Yeah, I guess.
It's exactly what it is.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
But you've been rehearsing.
It feels like there's a bit more drama in it, so I don't know what a dramatised comedy...
I know what you
comedy.
Mean. Sitcom typically has, like, canned laughter running underneath all the time.
That's where I went down,
yeah.
Whereas I'd see a bit more drama, but a funny drama.
So, I mean, it's advertised on Netflix as a comedy.
Right.
And I always thought it was a comedy. I always thought it was, you know, exactly
serial
like you've
just... drama.
Exactly like you've just said.
But it's yet to make you laugh.
And I thought to myself, oh, do you know what? I want something quite easy watching, just to watch in background. I've never watched it before. Obviously, it was 2005, I think it were out. Put it on. It's proper deep.
Is it?
Like, it's made me smile a couple of times, but mainly because the poking the fun at the whole slimming... club sort of thing.
Yeah.
But it's like, I mean, up to now I've watched season one, there's been 3 or 4 sex scenes, 2 full frontal nudities.
There's no wonder Ellen used to watch it.
2 full frontal nudities. There's been a attempted suicide.
Oh, Christ.
Bullying, like proper bullying, like the character that James Corden plays, he gets like caught by some lads and they get him up and kick him in and shove cake in his face and like stuff like that. It's just not what I expected it to be.
No. Mm.
And I just wondered whether I'm thinking of a different programme. Do you know what I mean? That is funny or whatever. Or whether that's is genuinely where people go, oh yeah, Fat Friends, that's that funny programme about Fat Club.
Yeah.
And it's just not. I mean, it's quite good. I'm quite enjoying watching it. But it just shocked me. It just shocked me how deep and serious it is.
I definitely haven't seen enough to be able to make much of a comment. But I can imagine it's one of them where you think it's going to go one way. And it's completely the
completely,
opposite.
Completely opposite.
And you're enjoying it?
Yeah, I am. I just thought I'd ask the question.
Marvellously
random.
I've brought us a drink to try.
Woohoo!
Now this has come recommended.
Oh,
so,
what? From you?
It's not recommended from me.
How many star reviews did it get?
I don't know. All I got told was, you've got to try this.
Oh.
So I went and bought it for us to try. It's by Vault City. We've had a Vault City before. Very good. A winter berry crumble, 6% modern sour beer.
Ooh.
It's another sour, but I've been told this one is
modern,
is delectable.
Okay, well, we'll be judging that, shall we?
Delectable, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, we'll go with it.
So when they say modern, what do they mean that's...
They mean it's not old. Yeah, they're just using words just to, like, modern. Like, what does that actually mean?
Ooh.
Okay.
Looks what colour is that? Is it red?
It looks like you've just scooped up a puddle and put it in a glass.
It looks like a reddy colour, isn't it?
Is it?
No good asking you.
It looks like a cranberry sauce.
Yeah.
That looks like... Don't put all this out. I don't want to be drinking all that. There's loads of there. How strong is it? How strong is it?
6%. I'll answer you because I'm in front of a microphone.
Thank you.
Jesus Christ, that's sour. Do you know what it smells like?
This doesn't smell too bad.
You know what it smells like?
Yeah. No, don't taste it yet, man.
You're scared.
You've got to take his instruction.
God, he's scared life out of me.
It's like, you know, have you ever been blackberry picking?
Yeah, a long time ago.
You end up with a tub of blackberries.
Yeah.
Before you, like, squish them.
I don't think you do. Have you been blackberry picking?
Or are you going blackberry picking in the wrong place?
So, like, you're not just picking one off and then eating it.
Is that
you're collecting them, you put them in a plastic tub because you're going to make a blackberry pie or whatever.
Yeah.
It smells like that.
Can we take a taste?
It smells good, doesn't it?
It smells like blackberries.
It does smell like it's about to be very sour, though.
You don't think it smells like blackberries?
It smells like berries.
I'm not getting necessarily blackberries.
Hence probably the mixed berry crumble
and it's
title.
Ready purpley, isn't it?
Yeah. Can we taste it now?
Yeah, can we taste it?
Ooh.
Not a fan.
Really?
Oh, I like that.
Oh, I do as well.
I'm trying to think.
Mmm. That's gorgeous. It's actually, it's not as sour as I thought it was going to be. It's quite sweet.
Thankfully.
It's not sweet enough for me.
I think it's...
Really?
Because the aftertaste is that crumble taste, which I get. But then, so my brain's almost going, well, if it's crumble, it needs to be sweeter.
I can even taste the crumble part. Can
yes,
you?
Yes.
You know, that's what I said.
The only thing it's missing is custard.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't say custard on it, though.
I know.
That's why it's missing it.
I thought you meant the actual flavour's only missing it as well.
You know when when we do this taste testing, how well does it go down to listeners? Because they're just drinking beer. What's going on?
No idea.
Well, the idea is that now we can say that is one to look out for, although Kirk wouldn't agree. And actually, out of all the ones we've tried, you've never disagreed. So actually, as much as I think that's really good, it hasn't got the seal of approval from Kirk, so it's not got 4 stars, has it?
No.
What do you think, Mark?
I liked it.
Yeah.
Which is vague, because generally I don't like anything.
It's got depth of flavour, and yet equally sweet and sour notes that's like, they work together and oppose each other at the same time.
Yeah.
It's really weird, isn't it?
I get the sound.
But I don't want to sound like one of those pompous, oh yes, it's got notes and the noses and all this sort of stuff. It's just... You can taste, like you say, it's like you're eating a berry crumble.
Yeah.
You can taste all bits of it.
Yeah.
I agree.
Without getting the bits stuck
in
your
teeth. What I will say about it is it doesn't taste like a 6% beer.
Oh, is that what it is?
Mm.
I suppose a full one.
Not anymore,
you'd soon find out, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
A, I'm driving, and B, I'm on tablets, so I don't want to be drinking anymore.
Lovely, I like that. I'd recommend it. So, yeah. I've enjoyed it. I'll finish yours then, shall I, boys?
Yeah, you can certainly finish mine, yeah. And oh, by the way, I wouldn't say it's horrible. It's just not my bag.
Not your flavour.
No, which is upsetting because I love crumble, so...
I could murder some custard now.
Yeah, just going in house and just drinking some custard.
Yeah.
So Trump's in then.
Wow, that were random.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
That's what happens when you're drinking that sour beer. Yeah.
I just thought, hey, Trump's in, isn't
Did you watch the inauguration?
No, I didn't actually. Did you?
No, I didn't actually.
Really?
Which is very unlikely.
Really? You didn't watch it?
I've had a rubbish week, I've got to be honest. Oh, I've had a really, really rubbish week.
Well, okay, come on, tell us, why have you had a rubbish week?
No, I'm not going there.
It's kind of short and sweet.
Is it because Trump won? Is that why you've had a rubbish
week? No, I've just been busy.
That was shorter and sweeter than this drink.
It was certainly sweeter.
You watched it though, Mark, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, so me and Mark watched it and you two didn't.
I've seen
well,
it.
Well, I were at work at the time, so I couldn't.
I've seen like the
highlights.
The clips of it, and I've seen
which is
like,
all of it, basically.
I've obviously read about what sort of things he said and some of the acts that he's passed already and stuff. So I'm up to date, I believe, with it all. I just didn't actually watch the inauguration.
Right.
Was it good? Was there many people there?
The only thing I understand was...
It was inside, so...
That's what I was about to say. Is it normally outside?
It's normally outside. Last time it was in the 80s, 1980, only because of weather. It was really cold, apparently.
Mm-hmm. And not only that, everyone wants a pop at him.
Yeah, I was just going to say a security thing.
Yeah. Sorry, the last one was in the 1980s.
When it was inside.
When it was inside. Because, like you said, it's always outside. So last, you know.
Why was it inside this time?
Are you not listening to anything?
Well, I was more struck by the fact that you said the last 1980s. I was like, what?
Because it was so cold. And of course, I mean, particularly for Biden. I mean, he doesn't want to be getting cold at his age.
Because he'll die. Mm.
So yeah, that just because of weather. That's why.
Yeah. But okay.
So yeah, I mean, I watched it, and I mean, he comes out with some waffle, doesn't he?
He's hilarious.
He's funny. He's funny to watch.
He's absolutely hilarious.
I kind of like him, but he's also a bit.
That's my thing. I don't know where I stand with him. I don't know what to think, make of him.
I couldn't take my eyes off of Kamala Harris and Joe Biden because
Kamala Harris,
Kamala,
Kamala Harris.
Oh, mm-hmm. Right.
And Joe Biden because Trump was basically stood there. Telling everybody that the decline of the USA is now over. All the rubbish that they've had to put up with over the last number of years is over, and it's now going to get better. And the doom, and honestly, it was just tearing them apart and just, you know, completely criticizing everything that's happened. You know,
have they done anything since they've been?
They were sort of sat there looking. Obviously, having to try and look engaged because all the cameras are on them.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
You could see him grimacing like,
this is awkward. You know,
I don't want to... And literally, after everything Trump said, everybody were clapping. Them two were just like, sat there like, I wish he'd just shut up. I wish he'd just shut up. Honestly, we're...
Do you think an element of that were because they know in the back of their mind he was kind of right?
No, I think sour grapes to some extent from Kamala Harris. I think she thought she was going to do a better job than what she did.
Yeah.
Joe Biden probably didn't even know you were there.
He probably thought he were getting sworn in again.
Yeah, he thought he won it. He were like,
yeah, I don't know. I think, they're just there to, you know, they're saving face, aren't they, by being there?
Yeah, it's not an easy thing to do, is it? Stand
well,
there.
It's part of the
tradition.
It's actually in the Constitution.
It's the transferring of power.
So it's almost they've got to be there by constitution for
Trump worked for Biden's.
Hence why there was that big issue about not following the transfer of power. Mm. So what do we reckon about what he's done in the last couple of days?
Well, I mean, I didn't see the thing, but obviously it's been all over the news, hasn't it? And I'm just like, I mean, amazing to see. You literally see him at his desk, surrounded by these black books. Folders, and he's literally, it's like a famous person has just been given a pile of posters to sign.
Yeah.
Like autograph.
But he's answering questions at the same time.
Laughing and joking as he's signing over a deal to literally
borders or whatever.
Yeah. And he's like, this is mental. He's just, I've never seen that before. Does that ever happen?
Signed an executive order to pardon 1,500 people that were involved in the Capitol riots.
Yeah.
1,500.
Yes, most presidents, when they go in, will instantly sign some executive orders.
Yeah.
It's the done thing.
Only towards their exit will they, you know, sign something that gets their son out of prison.
Yeah.
Why, was his son in prison?
Hunter Biden was.
Yeah, Joe Biden's son.
All right, okay. Did he let him out of prison?
I don't know about the prison bit, but he was charged with a gun felony, wasn't it? Mm. And
yes, you're right. What I did find, sorry, I may interrupt you, Mark, there. Yeah. But I'm talking about Biden's family. What I found bizarre is Biden also, in the sort of dying minutes of his... You know,
dying in the same sentence as Biden.
yeah, perhaps not sure. He sort of signed these executive orders to protect his family, although they've not done anything, because he didn't want Trump to pin in anything on his family.
Yeah.
Which I found really bizarre. So like Hunter, you know, Hunter Biden, obviously he's done something wrong. I can understand why he's pardoning him. But then to pardon his family for not doing anything, I'm like, this is so bizarre.
What's a pardon?
Well, almost like giving him protection. So Trump can't sort of start pointing fingers at his family saying, well, you've done this or you've done that. You know, basically sort of give him protection. Mm. Biden's given his family protection.
Sounds a bit dodgy.
It sounds, well, exactly.
Yeah.
For anybody to just go...
It's an abuse of power, isn't it?
Abuse of power.
Yeah.
Because they're both as bad as each other, really. I mean, it's the classic of, well, if he's doing that, then I'm going to do that. Exactly. Well, if he's up in the scale, then I'm going to upscale.
I think, if there is a counter-argument, because there are obviously... You know, Trump does get a lot of criticism, and he has got critics all over the world, I suppose, for things that he does and how he seems to behave. However, you've only got to look at the people were sort of comparing him to, like, more like Biden, and you know, Biden's this, that, and the other, and you know, and actually deep down, they're almost cut from the same cloth. Mm. You know, they're not that different, other than how they perhaps talk, maybe, but what they actually stand for deep down. You know, and people say, well, the bloody politicians are all in it for themselves. Because ultimately, there's always something going off that favours them.
Well, they are, really.
What I would say, though, Rob, based on what you've just said about is it normal for a presidency to be signing, you know, doing that, is what is abnormal, strange, unique, whichever way you want to look at it, is A, how many he's done on day one.
Right, OK.
And two, how extreme they are.
Yeah. Oh, right, OK.
So what you know, my thing is what do we think about some of the things that he has done? Because they are quite extreme.
Okay.
Well, so one of the things that I know he was talking about doing, and I don't know if he's done this yet, is the mass deportation of all illegal immigrants. Illegal immigrants.
Well, he signed
mass deportation of them.
The thing to start the process of it. Obviously, he's not done it yet. But
yeah, it'll be challenged in court. There'll be human rights challenges and one thing and another as to whether people can be removed. But he is putting things in place to start that process to at least try and deport people.
Mm. Yeah,
I know the thing he did immediately was he got the military involved at a state of emergency on the borders. He declared a state of emergency on the borders so that they had to send military on the border of Mexico, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And has he done that because by declaring a state of emergency gives him the right to then get the military involved?
Yes.
Is that what that's for?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And is that related to the immigration thing, or is that something completely different?
Yeah, so Biden's policy was find and deport, or... So basically, it was when people were already in the country. Mm-hmm. It was Biden was putting his power behind finding illegal immigrants in America, and then dealing with them.
Yeah.
So basically, what Trump's done is completely U-turn that, completely closed that operation down, and declared a state of emergency on the borders to stop them coming in the first place. And that's the difference.
Right.
I mean, I think there was they also had an app, didn't they? The Mexicans could like apply to come into America through an app thing or something.
Yeah, yeah.
As soon as he got in,
app
shut down. So people had obviously, they got ongoing applications. So because it's not a quick process, I think, you know, weeks and months and that. So people had got applications ongoing, just shut app down, going, right, that's it, your application's closed. So they might have been doing it for months, trying to.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just got, you know, been the rug, so to speak.
I think he's come in with a completely different tact to what he did the first time. He's obviously learnt a lot, because it's been reported that in the last 12 months, Joe Biden has deported more people in the last 12 months than Trump did in his entire presidency the last time round.
Oh, okay.
Right. And so I think Trump's obviously learnt a lot in that time, and, you know, how he's going to approach things, because the kind of person that he is. I mean, you only have to listen to his speech about, you know, we're going to win
like never before
and things like, and it's almost like everything's a competition. So it's almost in my mind that he's coming in knowing that whatever Biden's achieved, he's got to achieve more. Mm-hmm. So he's going to be coming in with a different tact, I think, as opposed to, you know, just talking the waffle. He knows that he's got to start putting things in place pretty quickly to make the changes.
It feels as though, you know, when we say, or people say, Britain is broken, it sounds like he's saying America is hooked, right? And therefore, drastic change needs to be made.
Yeah.
That's the general consensus I'm getting, the way he's coming in this time. It's like, heads are going to roll. This is yep. it. I'm literally coming in and changing this.
Yeah, his entire speech was of that tone. That the country was broken. He's going to make it great again. I mean, granted, he said that the first time round, but basically said that the country was in decline. It was broken, and you know he's going to fix it, and it's going to be the best it's ever been. You know, and
so without going down the immigration stuff, because you know that's it's a hot topic, and I suppose it depends how you feel about immigration and stuff like that. But for me, what I find more intriguing, and I've been thinking about it on whether I agree with it or not, as in, like, if I was the president of the UK, if I had that kind of power, you know, what would I do? Because it's the fiscal stuff. It's the economy stuff.
Mm-hmm. Which is good on. He's good on that.
Well, you see, this is the thing. So this is what I've been battling with in my head.
Okay.
Right? Because what is your primary job as a head of state?
Are you asking us?
You can do if you've got an answer. I mean, you can say I don't know if you want.
Well, that's hard. I mean, because you've got you could say health, education, finance.
But I'm talking about more general. If you had to literally say it in one sentence or whatever, the top line stuff, what is the primary role of your head of state?
Well, I'd say the economy,
national security, for me.
Yeah. So.
Any of them.
Yeah, so I would say to have a successful country and protect people. Yeah?
Yeah.
So everything that he's done, we'll get into the nitty-gritty of some of them in a minute, I know, because it's not everything, you know. But if you were to look at it from a business point of view as a country,
yeah,
the things that he's signed already off as executive orders, and I know they can get challenged and stuff, but as we stand here at the minute, are very beneficial to the country.
Yeah.
Yep.
Financially.
Yeah.
Okay. So, like, he's signed an order to withdraw from the Paris Accord.
Yeah.
He's signed a thing to start the process of withdrawing, and this is massive, by the way.
I think I know what you're going to say, yeah.
But withdrawing from the World Health Organization.
Yep.
Really?
That's huge.
Yeah,
right.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He's also suspended all foreign aid.
Yeah.
Now he's only got the power to suspend it for 90 days. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But with the attitude of that he doesn't want to participate anymore, right? So when I looked into it, USA gave $63 billion last year in foreign aid. $63 billion. Wow. Right. Now, with a swipe of his pen, he could have just saved, let's say, the USA $63 billion.
Yep. Yeah.
With a swipe of his pen. So this is why I ask the question, what is the primary role of a head of state? Because on one hand, what he's done there benefits Americans, yep, but hurts
the world.
The world.
Mm.
So where do we see the balance coming from? Of what is more important. Is he right in going, well, no, my first port of call is to protect the country that I am president of, not to look after the world? Yeah. Or do we believe that because America are a superpower, that there is an element of responsibility to the world?
Well, true. I mean, the point on that, I know that's not directly what you're asking us here, but people voted him because he said this is what he's going to do. So therefore they voted him, and he's doing exactly what they voted him to do. So, because it's a democratic country like most countries, they voted him to go, right, we want you to do this, Donald, so you do this, and that's what he's done. I know that's not directly what you're asking us.
No, I'm asking whether it's right.
But yeah, I know you're asking, and that's what I'm saying, but ultimately, you could argue, and well, not argue, but you could say that this is what people voted for. Now, again, people don't always vote for the right things. They vote for what they want. This is what they want. Now, I know that doesn't answer your question, but that's what people want, and that's what he's doing.
I know.
You can't...
it's a tricky one.
Like we've just said there, Mark, if he's been obviously appointed by the people, you know, however the voter split, They've, yep. you know, the majority have said, yeah, we want Donald Trump as our president.
Because we want him to do this.
Because of this, that and the other. Then he has to then put his money where his mouth is.
Yeah.
In terms of making permanent stance on, you know, coming out of the WHO and pulling out, he said, the Paris Accord and, you know, suspending foreign aid. You know, if he's looking at those in terms of...
Is that Paris Accord? Is it the Paris Climate Agreement?
Climate change, yeah.
I mean, he doesn't buy into that at all anyway.
No.
But there might be an element from a fiscal, financial point of view with the foreign aid of saying, right, well, actually, let me get me arse on the seat. Let me get the numbers in front of me and let's have a look at where we are.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe... I'm not going to do anything with the money just yet and then start maybe divvy it up and say, right, well, actually, yeah, we can't afford 63 billion. We can afford 50.
Yeah.
And then start again.
Yeah.
We don't know whether he's just going to, you know, say, I'm not doing it. We're not giving anything. But I wouldn't have thought it'll work like that because of loyalties and allegiances and all that sort of
and
stuff.
And you scratch my back, I scratch yours.
It does sound a little bit like, when you say the figures there, it almost sounds like it's just an ever-increasing pot of money that's put into, and whoever needs it just takes from it when they need it. You know, mm-hmm. It's a little bit how it sounds, rather than, I think, how it should be, whereby, no, it's our money, and as and when we wish and want to help certain places, we'll give the money. It sounds as though, I might be completely wrong because I've no idea, but it almost sounds a little bit like it's ungoverned and it's just a pot of money that anyone can take from as and when they needed it, rather than anyone actually having control over it and being very sticky about where it goes.
I mean, it is controlled and it is governed, and that's the World Health Organization. So, the foreign aid policy and the foreign aid panel and stuff. So it is governed and it is something that is controlled. Mm-hmm. And the whole reason why it's not done the way you said is because then it's done on a case of someone's opinion whether something's worthy or not rather than it being governed.
Yes.
You know, so...
When you start in that position, you'll have a meeting with, I don't know, for example, Zelensky, and you'll say, well, we will commit to giving you $100 million next year or X amounts, you know, and it's coming up with those agreements with people and saying, yeah, we will commit to giving you this sort of money to support you, whether it be in defence, whether it be, I don't know, there might be a country that's had a natural disaster that they need help recovering from. You know, so I think there's all sorts of...
I think my thing comes down to a little bit of like what I sometimes think about the UK as well, and that is that whilst ever the country as a whole or as a minority think that their state, their country is broken and needs repairing, then you've got to rebuild and start there first. And if it's money that helps you do that, then they have to go, I'm sorry, world, but we've got to sort ourselves out here, because if we don't sort ourselves out in 50 years, 100 years time, we won't have any of this to give any of you, because we will be screwed. So I do think it sometimes takes that we need to stop this and we need to rebuild from the inside. We need to make ourselves great again, if that's what they were and are or want to be. We need to make ourselves great again so then we can do this. You know, it's the way I see it. I don't think this analogy is very good at all. I'm making it up on the spot.
Rob's making up an analogy.
But it's a little bit like, in my opinion, of a family. And if the parents are broken, then the kids are imminently you know when they say about a marriage being broken.
Are we swearing on podcast now?
Well, I just have. Okay. It's that 6%. Imminently, the kid, you know when parents put all the emphasis into the children rather than each other, mm-hmm. and forget that mm-hmm. if they don't work together and be parents together, the kids will suffer. Even though they think that by giving all the love to the children and not to each other...
Shall I order you a kebab?
Yeah.
you know, that's how I see it. They've got to look after that. The hub's got to be there to start with, to be able to look after everything else in the house, making sure that there's money to provide food, that the heating's on and everything else. And if that doesn't work, if they're not looked after that element of it, everything else falls apart.
I think a huge thing that Trump was talking about was... how America had become lawless, and there was, you know, crime was on, you know, an all-time high in his words, and everything's the worst it's ever been, and all that sort of stuff. I think that's something that is looking at targeting quite a lot. I think a lot of his big decisions in terms of the financial stuff, the drill baby drill, you know, pulling out the Paris Accord and saying, "Do you know what? We're gonna become a, you know,
fossil fuel. Go for it."
We're going to become completely self sufficient and exporting it to.
Was that the fossil fuels in Alaska and all that area that they've been?
I think a lot of his decisions he's done with one eye on China.
Yeah,
he's seen China as a huge threat, I think he's looking at this and thinking, you know, we need to.
Do you think he's looking at them and going, "Do you know what? They're not bothering, so why should we?"
No, I think he sees them as a threat.
Well, he does see them as a threat. I'm not disputing that at all. I'm saying as well as, in the regards that.
I hear what you're saying, Rob.
I might be wrong, so let me just double check something. But this whole. Rescinding this Alaskan fuel thing. That is basically, there was a stop put on mining for fuel, drilling for oil, right? Which they obviously earn a lot of money from. Mm-hmm. But the idea being that they don't want to do this anymore because obviously the climate control, the net zero, and striving for that. Whereas the likes of China are doing absolutely nothing about it. And are just progressing in life and doing whatever they want to do as a country and a nation, at their own will and benefit of their own country. And everyone else is going, "Well, we're not going to do this for the betterment of the world." But so is he saying, "Well, if they're not doing it and they're making money off it, and we're suffering because of it, why should we?"
I think the latter part of your comment is more accurate. So suffering in that they, you know, China are becoming a bigger superpower because they're going all guns blazing and they're doing whatever
money.
It takes.
Yeah, and they've got the money.
I don't think he's saying if they're going to do it, then we're going to do it. I think he's...
Well, it's more the money. If they're getting all the money out of that commodity, why are we not doing it?
He probably sees it as the only chance to stand up against China. Mm. And be, you know, because... They are an increasing threat. We know that. Even over here, we talk about cyber threats. You know, you talk about the size of their army, the size of them as their economy. Huge.
And do you think he's more scared of them than Russia?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
The thing with Russia is, although they are a threat, Russia are severely outnumbered in terms of allies. So you've got a continent, if you like, that's almost in unison standing against Russia in a very dignified and controlled way, obviously, because you don't want to prod the bear. Whereas China is, if they took the lid off it, for want of a better term, then, you know, all hell would break loose.
And I think just adding to that, not instead of or whatever, adding to that, I think it's also the fear of having to become reliant on these countries. Mm. So like what happened when we closed all our coal plants and when we, you know, stuff like that, we became very reliant on foreign powers for our energy. Yeah, so we're very reliant on, for instance, Russia for gas, you know, and stuff like that. And we've not thought about it in the future to see what does that mean. So like, for instance, now everything's kicking off with Russia and Ukraine and this and that other. We've put sanctions in place for Russia, but there's only so much sanctions we can do, because if they decided to shut the gas pipe off, we're in trouble. Mm-hmm. So there's always that diplomatic, and America have always been in a position where they've been self-sufficient with fossil fuel. So they haven't produced enough or much to export, but they also haven't had to import. Yeah, so they haven't had to rely on the Saudis and stuff like that for oil. They've produced their own and used their own. Mm. But obviously, there's a limit to that, and it starts to run out. And what his argument is if we do stop drilling and we don't carry on with fossil fuel, he doesn't believe, because of the way the rest of the world are going, as in China and stuff like that, he doesn't believe, or he doesn't buy into the fact that in the future we are not going to be reliant upon fossil fuel. He thinks that we are absolutely going to be reliant on fossil fuel for many, 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 many years to come, And if he doesn't act now to drill more and tap into the Alaska reserves and stuff like that, then and put the structure in place now, that they'll have to start importing fuel, oil. And as soon as they have to start importing oil, then the price of fuel and oil goes up, which then puts it onto the American people, and you've got the reliance then on other factions in the world.
Right.
So what he's kind of doing is going, look, I don't believe that fossil fuel's going anywhere. We need to make sure we've got enough reserves to keep doing what we're doing. And basically, he's basically saying that by tapping into these Alaska oil reserves and stuff like that, we'll be able to reduce energy bills because of the excess of oil that we've got, and they'd be able to start exporting it, which will earn money. So therefore, they've estimated that it'll bring energy bills down to the average household in America by $1,200 a year.
Wow.
So this is going back to my first question, is what's the primary goal or aim of a head of state? Because we can sit here and go, yeah, but what about the environmental impact? What about, you know, this and that? Absolutely. And I suppose that's a discussion for another time about climate change. But, you know, his job as head of state is to go, I've got to look after the people in America right now. And right now, there's a cost of living crisis. And right now, we've got pressures on the economy, and economies are shrinking, whereas other economies, like China and stuff, are growing. So if we want to remain the biggest superpower in the world, we have to boost our economy. To do that, we have to put more money in the pockets of Americans to spend money in you know, that's how economy works. And to do that, we have to, you know, lessen their bills, put more money in the pockets. He reckons... And I don't know how scientific this is, but it is out there with the same figures as everything else. He reckons that if everything comes off what he wants to do, so the drilling of oil, reduction of energy, pulling out the Paris Accord, not doing the climate change, not investing to WHO, not investing in foreign aid, all these things add up to such a huge amount of money that... Not only will it lessen bills, but it'll lessen people's tax burden. It'll lessen like shopping in shops and food and stuff like that. That they reckon that it will save the average household in America $50,000 a year.
Sure, for now. Wow.
And that's why I'm asking the question. This is why I struggle with it in my head.
So what's your thoughts on it then? You've put it to us and you've explained it very well, and that's... I didn't know any of that, or I didn't certainly not looked at it from that standpoint. So what's your opinion of it?
I don't mean to sound flaky. I'm really stuck because the business side of my head goes, it's the right thing to do. That you, like you've just said there, Rob, you've got to look after your own home.
Get your house
before
in order.
Thank you, Mark. Yeah, you've got to put your own house in order.
Yeah.
And actually, if you know, if you grow in the economy in the country of the size of the USA, then the spending power that then gives you, you know, could do a lot of good in the future for the world. Yeah. You know, and it there's a lot of positives there. There's a lot of positives, but
the trade-off is the ethical loss, isn't it?
Exactly. And that's the thing, that you sit there and you go, okay, but how many people in the world are going to suffer because of that?
Yeah.
And is that right? Because if you are a world superpower, do you have an element of responsibility to you know, it's ethical.
But you know, I do struggle with this sometimes, because even I'm a bit like, why is it down, no matter how big the country is, no matter how wealthy they are, why is it down to them to help other countries? Why is it there? Yeah, I mean, Australia's pretty big, and as far as I'm aware, they do nothing. Or I'm very, very wrong there, but I know that they're not seen like America are. Aren't they as big of, if not bigger?
No.
No what?
No, they're not as big. They're not bigger.
Right.
As in the economy-wise.
It's a big country.
It's a big country.
Yeah, I meant physical size.
Yeah, but yeah, they haven't got as many people. The population.
Huge.
The population. You know, so land mass. Yeah, but so is Greenland.
Yeah. Which is why he wants it.
I mean, like Canada's the biggest country in the world. And then Russia, is it? Is that right? Land mass.
I don't know.
I knew Russia was high up there.
It's multifaceted anyway. With the helping other countries. You know, there's the moral obligation of, right, we've got all this money. We're
you know, relatively successful as a nation, and you've perhaps got another nation that's, I don't know, you've got kids that are drinking puddles, you know, eating rice, and that's all they get to eat every day, all their life, and they perhaps won't live to see adulthood. Yeah. You know,
literally dying of starvation.
Yeah. So it's hard, isn't it, to say, well, it is helping out an African nation that are in a worse state than our own people, you know, because we're talking mass homelessness, starvation, disease, and, you know, whatever else, you know, goes with living like that, or somebody who's struggling to pay some bills. Do you know what I mean? It's almost like, yes, that's what's most important to them, you know, financially, that they're struggling to pay bills and whatever else, but these people can't eat. And so it's trying to balance that, isn't it, and say, well, actually, my people come first, or, well, they're doing all right, I'll try and help them a little bit, but we could do well also with supporting them. So I don't know, in terms of organisations outside of, well, I suppose the WHO are probably part and parcel of it, really, but when you, I don't know, signing up to agreements and with organisations to work with other nations to help support, you know, lesser wealthy countries. It's hard, isn't it? Because everybody needs help, but it's who needs help the most, you know, and how do you prioritise that? Do you say, well, you know, Trump might be like, actually, no, us first, the end.
Yeah, well, and I think that's what
he's doing.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah. And I kind of do agree with it. I do agree with that.
You do, until there's another global pandemic.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And WHO haven't got the money or the expertise and the manpower that that USA provide. So USA are one of the biggest providers of contributors.
They were the number one
contributor to the WHO. And that's money, and that's expertise, scientists, equipment, X, Y, and Z, right? So what, it's all right sitting there and going, well, yeah, and, you know, why do they have to do that? And I'm with you, but then the voice in the back of my head goes, well, yeah, until there's another global pandemic and we're not in a position to get a vaccine, or we're not in a position to, you know, I'm not going on about the fact of whether vaccines are right or not. At the end of the day, if there's a global pandemic, it helps that you've got something like the WHO trying to battle it. And even warning signs, sharing news and information on disease spreading and stuff like that could be the difference between life and death.
Yeah. And but would that not also mean that the WHO obviously spend a lot of money on research, so surely they'd also, when a big catastrophe happens and America goes, so what's the best advice? They'll go, don't come to us, we're nothing to do with us. Mm-hmm. So all you countries that you are in, is this is what we're advising.
Yeah.
They are out of it. Yeah, it's up to their own, they look after themselves then, don't they?
And yeah, exactly. And that's another facet is when you've got the alliance with another country that perhaps really do prioritise helping another nation, for example. Let's say Africa, you know, or a particular area of Africa, and you might have a prime minister or a president of another country that's, you know, has some link, whether it be through their life history, whether it be through the family history. They might have some link where they find it very important to support that. They might, to some extent, hold a little, not so much a grudge, but they'll perhaps want to encourage, but if we're going to get on as a pair of countries, then I think you need to be helping them as well. Do you know what I mean? And so that's where I think the complexities of politics, I mean, really starts to take hold.
Yeah,
the countries have a wealth attributed to them. Is there like a figure that someone can say that country is worth X amount of money? That's the wealth that country has.
Yes.
So why is it not every single country in the world has to give X percent of their wealth into that?
Who's going to govern that?
Well, I don't. I guess it'd have to be an agreement between
them
all.
That is how it works.
Oh, it is. Oh, right. So, go on.
Well, we're talking about going to like North Korea and China and saying you should give
Oh, no, sorry, yeah. What I was getting at is the people that do contribute, absolutely, it is a percentage of their...
of the country's wealth, yeah. Rather than just saying, yeah, well, we'll put in this and that.
But there is no governance over the world, is there, that says every country must give 10% of GDP or whatever they want to...
So here's a question then. Do we know if China, Japan, Korea, all that are they giving... Do they give to who?
I don't know. Is the answer? I would guess that someone like China probably does, just because of the you know, they'd want to be involved in the research and having an idea of what's going off. If you want me to be honest, more than anything, because it's also a way of being in the know, isn't it? But do I think things that people like North Korea and stuff like that do? No, I don't.
So it's not bothering me, but what it's got me thinking is pulling out of the Paris Agreement. Mm-hmm. Do you think that sets a precedence or sets a ball rolling now that people know that China are doing nothing about it, America are now pulling out? Does it start setting a precedence where other countries start saying, hold on a minute, what if all these big, massive countries are not doing it? What do are we, like the UK, who will literally be there going, we're going to plough on through this. We are the smallest little country in terms of island that have powers. Yet we will continue to push through and continue to do it, and the big superpowers like America and China and Russia are all going, no, balls to that.
So this is another element. So where you've got the countries like China and Russia, America, maybe not so much Russia at the minute because they're getting squeezed by everybody, but America and China, for example, are so big and powerful that they can say, yeah, do you know what? They're balls to it, we're pulling out. We could say, yeah, actually, we're going to pull out. And then the EU goes, all right, get ready. We're going to put some real big tariffs on imports for you. And we're like, hang on a minute. You know, your trading becomes more difficult. Your relationship becomes more fractured.
Is that because we rely so heavily on Europe? On trade?
Yeah, we're not as powerful as America and China. Mm. You know, so where they can probably throw their weight around a little bit.
Was there ever a time when we were as powerful as them?
There was a time when we was the most powerful, empire in the world.
I'm almost sitting thinking, I'm sure we were though, weren't we?
The British Empire.
What went wrong?
I mean, you do know that, just to give you some context, you do know that so we saw like old America. We gave America back to them.
I know, why did we do that?
Because they fought back.
Oh, right.
So you know 4th of July?
Yeah, that's what it's
all about. American Independence Day.
Yeah, it's about us.
That's when they defeated us.
That's their independence.
That's not Will Smith in an Air Mate.
Well, that's genuinely what I was thinking about. I'm thinking, no, that's the film in
Aliens.
So, right, yeah.
4th of July, American Independence Day.
Yeah.
That's their independence.
I thought we just gave it back.
We didn't give it back. We didn't.
We had 30 days and we said, you know what, we're not on this anymore, so we sent it back.
There was still a war.
Yeah, no way.
Yeah, but I didn't think they won it, did they?
Well, they was winning. Yes, we ended up just giving it them back.
Right, yeah.
I never knew we had a war with America.
We burnt their White House down. Their original White House. The White House that's built now is different to the original White House. We burnt it down.
I'm going to have to go to boys' room. You three carry on.
All right.
I mean, we saw, like Kirk said, British Empire, we saw, I mean, I use the word old, owned very loosely, by the way, but we saw owned a lot of the countries in the world, and we discovered a lot of them, and of course we still do have, I mean, we still have presence in Canada and Australia.
Look at the Commonwealth. That's what the Commonwealth is. Our king is still the head of state for them. Yeah. You know,
and that's what I mean by struggle with. We seem to be so under the thumb now by Europe.
In our lifetime, we gave Hong Kong back to them. I mean, that was in 1999.
Yeah.
I remember watching it on TV where
although it is a very dodgy deal, that there's a lot of things tied in with that deal. Yeah, but yes.
I mean, I don't think it's gone well for us or for them.
No,
I don't think we should have done that. But it's hindsight now.
I mean, speaking of that kind of thing, was it today or last night that he basically said, put a warning out to Vladimir Putin that he wants the war wrapped up in Ukraine? Or they're going to start putting sanctions on, bigger sanctions on him. Yeah. Was that last night or something?
He said he needs an end to this ridiculous war.
Yeah.
He's going to put sanctions
just
on him, yeah.
Before we move on too far away from it, because I just want to just blow your brain a little bit, the last time Trump was in power, they came out of the Paris Accord as well.
Yeah.
All right.
This isn't the first time they've done it. So he came out of it, Biden went back in it, now he's come back out of it again. Just while we're talking a little bit on British politics.
Yes.
Okay. I'd just like to say, while I've got a microphone in front of me, do you remember the politics special we did?
Yeah,
I was there.
Yeah, cool. Don't mean you remembered it.
that is a very good point, Kirk.
But do you remember me having a bit of a kickoff saying that I'd read the Labour manifesto and I'd read about their fiscal rules and how it was full of mistakes and how it was didn't make sense and it contradicted each other and how I said that, hi mate, nice one.
I want to say I got a bladder like a peanut. But once you start, you can't stop.
No. Plus, these pub toilets are all a long way away, aren't they? Yeah. It's like being near the Witherspoons.
Yeah,
it is. Yeah. Go on, Kirk.
And remember me saying about how it didn't make sense and it contradicted, and it's all right them saying they've put these fiscal rules in place, but they'll never be able to follow it. And I don't understand people that fall for this tripe every single time Labour say it. Remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
Okay. So December, the borrowing...
Yeah.
For the country, so bear in mind, this goes against every single fiscal rule that they said they were following. Their borrowing in December was £10 billion more than it were the December before.
Yeah.
So they borrowed £17 billion in December, versus £7 billion last December. And it's the highest it's ever been in the month of December for 4 years.
Yeah.
And bear in mind, that was because of COVID before. But yet, they're sat there in the manifesto saying all these fiscal rules. Why do we keep falling for it as a country for Labour? Why?
I didn't vote for Labour.
Some people do.
I know. Anyway, going back to Trump, and you know what I'm like. I can talk about this all night, and I promise you,
it interests me.
But all that stuff, I suppose, us menials, if you like, us lemmings, we can't even begin to process having to make decisions like that, can we?
No.
And we do sit here and go, well, you can literally fight for and against, can't you? Mm-hmm.
All right. I'd spend half my time saying, what does that mean?
Yeah.
What does that mean? Yeah. And so if I did that, then what happens?
I think that's the problem, Trump in asking them questions. No,
He's just signing it.
But what has piqued my interest a little bit is something on a bit of a smaller scale of the exec orders that he's signed.
Okay.
All right. That do directly impact the American people, and does it set a precedent across the globe? And that is all this about the DEI.
Oh yes.
So have you seen this?
The gender thing, yes.
So
diversity, equality, and inclusion.
Yeah. So he has literally any government office, whatever that have got. Committees and projects and stuff like that up and running to do with diversity, equality and inclusion, they've had to cease immediately. Yeah. To
put
a point
where
put them on garden leave. they're now sat at home, not working, being paid. He's literally put a stop to it. Bang. Done.
Wow.
And he's also signed into law, well, as an executive, can be challenged or whatever, that the USA will only recognise two sexes.
Yeah.
Male and female.
Oh, right, yeah.
End of story. And it's stuff like that that I kind of go, oh.
Yep.
That is, the things that we've just been talking about are massive, aren't they? They're massive to get your head around, and it's, well, morality against this, that, other.
Yep.
But now we're talking about actual human rights, what a lot of people would say. Yep. And literally within a swipe of a pen, he's eliminated certain things to do with human rights.
Yeah.
What do we think of that? dare I ask? Let's not go too.
Well, I think it's great because end of the day, we are not talking about sexuality. This is not about you can't be gay. That's nothing to do with this.
No.
This is about how many genders are they? And as far as I'm concerned, there are only two genders, male and female.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
Okay.
So, yes, you can be trans.
Yeah.
But if you're trans, then what are you? You have a male or you're female?
Yeah, you still identify one or the other.
So all this ridiculous, well, you know, I see, you know, like Sam Smith, oh, I see myself as a, you know, today as a fairy or whatever. No, you're male of all the words. Well, he is.
You didn't mean that, did you?
But at the end of the day, he is male.
I get where you're coming from. And what I will say, just so I have said my piece, because we are in a public forum or whatever, is my opinion, and it is my opinion that we are all entitled to them, believe it or not, is that I believe people should be able to identify however they want and that however makes them feel comfortable and whatever they want. I do, because I genuinely believe if they're not hurting anybody, then what's it matter to me? Why should I be able to force anything on anybody else? However...
Well, I'm going to say however, but you say your bit first.
When it comes to the legality of it,
yes.
When it comes to the scientific biology of it, then there is no question.
That's it.
And exactly. That's it. So how someone identifies, I'm not bothered. And I don't think there should be rules and laws or whatever to stop anybody doing that. I don't think there should be any controls in place to stop anybody doing that, because it's not hurting me, it's not hurting anybody else, and it's... I want people to be comfortable and be whoever they feel as though they want to be. But should it be, if you were talking biologically, then...
What about it if it offends somebody else?
What do you mean?
So, you're saying you can identify as they want and it doesn't matter because it doesn't hurt anybody else. But perhaps it is hurting somebody else. What if, you know, because I suppose we're talking about being able to use toilets and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. What about if there are some people that are really uncomfortable with that? Is that just hard lines? Bearing in mind, that's now being imposed on them.
Yeah, I think we've got to be careful what words we use, because as we've discussed before in our comedy episode or whatever, offending, I don't care whether someone's offended or not. Yeah, so when it comes to someone being offended, on either way, yeah? So if you're offended, you're offended. Okay, move on. When we're talking about things being
uncomfortable
and imposed, it's a tough one, Mark. I'm just being honest. It's a tough one that I do deal with.
It's all right saying you can do whatever you want, but they're going, well, hang on a minute, I'm not comfortable with that. Well, that's hard lines for you. It's not hard lines for you, but it is for you. Well, then that's not fair, then, is it?
Yeah. So I think I've heard two very opposing arguments on this. From two very, very either end of a spectrum people. And it's really tough for me because I don't care, as in me personally. Do you get what I mean? So if I walked into a toilet and there was a woman there, I really don't care. I don't care at all. No matter what gender or whatever, I don't care. Okay, so...
But you could what I'm saying is you could walk into the women's toilet if you identified as a they.
Yeah.
And she might really care.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's why I struggle with it, because I've literally heard either end of an argument with it, all right? I've literally heard the kind of argument as what you've just said. Mm. Well, actually, what about me and what about my rights and stuff like that? I've heard the other side of the argument of what is it that you're bothered about? What is it that you're bothered about? This person's dealing with how they feel like as they are as a person. This person sees themselves truly as a female or a male or whichever way you want to look at it. Yeah, you're just worried that she's going to see you tinky. You know, the argument is stacked either way. I'm not trying to persuade you here, by the way. I'm just trying to tell you from either end of a spectrum, and that's why I genuinely sit in the middle and go, I don't know. I don't have an opinion on it, because if somebody wants to identify as the opposite sex, whether that's transgender, it doesn't bother me. And does it bother me that somebody who is biologically a woman walks into a male toilet because they identify as a male? You know, I'm not stood there thinking, oh, she wants to look at my willy. I'm not. Just like I'm not thinking to myself, if a homosexual man walks into a toilet, I'm not stood there going, oh, he wants to look at my willy. I've got to be honest,
when it comes to toilets, I've never understood why they have male and female. I've never understood it.
I think that, listen, I hear what you're saying, but I think the problem here is that we're male. If four women sat here, I think they'd have a different view, because they'd be like
100% they would.
I mean, men, at the end of the day, we don't really care. We just want to have a wee and get out. Women, on the other hand, they treat toilets completely different from us.
Yeah. You it's, not, I mean? It's not just somewhere where you go to the toilet.
Yeah.
We're not talking about nudity or anything like that. So, we're talking about a safe space sometimes.
Yeah, they do the makeup in there, they talk in there. Obviously, they've got the health things, you know, and stuff like that. So it's different for them.
Yeah, but a woman can be, let's just talk very brass tacks here a minute, right? A woman can be just as much attacked in a toilet by a female than what they could by a male.
We're not talking about being attacked. We're talking about a safe space where they might feel comfortable.
Yeah, because there's
able
no
to talk.
But is that the
why is that
the
different?
Toilet?
Why is that different if it was a biological male or not?
You know, well, Rob was on about having toilets that whether
everyone
in one room. Well, that's women like saying, well, I'm not saying women generally.
I mean, there's certain places that are doing it now, aren't they? They don't have male and female.
Yeah, and I don't agree to that.
Toilet.
And I don't agree to that.
They're just all cubicles.
Why?
They don't have you.
Because I think women should have safe toilets to go to.
I don't understand this word safe.
I know, I don't.
Well, because women need to feel safe.
That's what I'm saying.
Replace the word safe with comfortable.
Right.
Comfortable. I think
we're not saying someone's going in somewhere so they don't feel like they're going to get attacked.
Yeah,
okay. We're talking comfortable where somebody might be able to go to be able to talk to somebody, maybe in private, even though it's a toilet. You know, I'm not talking a cubicle. We're talking the room outside of the cubicle.
Yeah, I get what you mean.
You know, two women might be there talking about something. You know, that's.
And do you think? And genuine. I'm genuinely interested. I am genuinely interested. I'm not. I'm not trying to trip anybody up. I'm genuinely not. So do you think that what you can talk about or what people feel comfortable talking about matters with the gender?
Yes.
I know what you mean.
If you've got a room full of strangers, if you've got two people, two women, let's just say women, in a room full of strangers, and they want a comfortable conversation, that because that room full of strangers is all women, it makes them feel more comfortable.
I don't think they'd be. They wouldn't necessarily be talking openly.
But let's say a woman's upset, right? Women tend to be more emotional than men, generally. I mean, I'm an emotional person, but say that girl's crying or whatever, they tend to run off to the toilet.
Right.
And with a friend, a female friend, they then want a bloke coming in and going, "Well, what's the matter with you, love?
But this is where I've got the issue.
Why?
Because what you've done is stereotyped.
No,
they don't. Right? You're generalising and you're stereotyping. So yes, do I agree that a woman, let's use that example, could get upset and they go to the toilet?
Yeah.
Right. What you're generalising or stereotyping is a bloke's going to go in there and be insensitive.
No, I didn't say a bloke would. I'm just saying
there's the same chance that a woman could go in there and go, "Now then, what's going off with you? What's your problem? What?
She's got a deep voice, hasn't she?
Yeah. But what I'm saying is that insensitivity, right, or that breach of privacy is down to the person, not the gender. So if I walked into that toilet and they were having a private conversation or an upset conversation, I would do exactly what a female would do. Walk in, go to the toilet, wash my hands, and walk out.
Yeah, but I think, I am generalising because men and women are different.
Yes,
and even say, are you okay?
All different. Yeah, and you're right. Some women could go in there and start, having a go at her. Like, why are you being like this and blah, blah, blah. But I'm saying, generally, women tend to be... We are different creatures. Men and women are different creatures.
I agree.
Women are more... They tend to be like that, as opposed to men who are like, what's the matter with you?
Right, if I walked into a female toilet and a woman was crying, I would say... Are you okay? And they would look at me and go, yes. I wouldn't then go...
What I'm saying is men generally... If a guy were crying in a toilet, right, another guy wouldn't come on and go, what's the matter with you, mate? All they could do is...
What toilets are you going in?
Samaritans.
I mean, genuinely.
What do you mean?
I would not... If I were in a toilet and another guy came in and went, what's up with you, if I were upset, I'd be like... Are you an idiot? Are you? What are you? Because I would expect anyone to have compassion. There might be the odd guy that wouldn't.
But the point is, you keep saying generally.
I'm like, what?
Because men are like that. Men react differently to situations than women do. That's what I'm saying. Men tend to, we tend to be liars. We tend to take the mickey out of other men that's how we respond to it.
Yeah.
But women tend to be take a more softer approach to situations.
But can I just reverse it a little bit?
Yeah.
Right? And take it back to what we're talking about is if you've got a male that
I thought we were talking about Trump, by the way.
I know, but a male that identifies as a female or whatever. Yeah.
Well, I've got an easy solution to all this, but go on.
Naturally, what you're saying is that men behave differently to women. Yes? Or can?
We're different sexes.
But if you do have a male that genuinely believes they are female and genuinely identifies as a female, then they would act and behave like a female.
Right.
So therefore, what's the difference between that person walking into them toilets and not being allowed to? Because they're going to walk and behave like a female.
Where's the governance?
My final bit before Mark comes in. The easy thing with toilets are, if you're male, so going back to the Trump thing, right? If you're male, right, then you're male. So if you're trans, you're still male. Biologically, you're male. So you use a male toilet. Even if you're dressed as a woman, you use the male toilet. If you're female, you use the female. That's it. End of.
So for you, it becomes about biological.
Absolutely.
Why? Because in case someone sees you winking.
No.
So what's the problem?
Well, the problem, that's why we have separate toilets. We have a male toilet, a female toilet. So if you're biologically male, you use male.
Which is a very old-fashioned system.
It worked for years.
Well, my system would clear it all. Just get rid of male and female.
We've never had any problems.
One room.
We've never had any problems before. So, but now we've got problems because people don't like this, having joint toilets or letting... Now we've got a problem. So just go back to the old system. It works fine.
Or the new system where you take the signs off the doors, you knock the wall out, and there's 10 cubicles one space.
Yeah, but people don't like it, Rob. But you know, a lot of people don't like it.
I mean,
and it's not the way to go.
Not the way to go. I don't mind hearing someone shitting in a cubicle next to me, whether it's male or female. I don't care what they are.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
But anyway.
Anyway, what were you going to say, Mark? Or you forgot?
Yeah, so, I mean, you were saying if somebody says they identify as...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, rubbish.
Where's the governance on who identify... You know, how do you know that they identify and who's...
Why does there need to be governance?
Well, you're saying if somebody identifies as the opposite sex, then they can use that toilet.
Right.
Yeah, which is not...
So what you're saying is anybody can just use any toilet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is... That's not how it can be.
Why? That's why I'm trying to get to the bottom of it.
And I've just explained my point.
No, you haven't. You've generalised. You've basically said...
I've generalised,
men are brutes, women are soft and soppy. No. That's what you've basically said. And what I'm saying is that isn't general. That isn't the general way it is. I agree with you that men and women are different.
They are different.
We're built different. I absolutely get it. But when it comes to toilets, for instance, public spaces, because that's what they are, right... That I don't think there should be any difference whatsoever between when you walk through that door to go to the toilet, whether you are male or female, because the risks are the same either end. Because you are dealing with people. End of story.
So you're telling me if Scarlett was walking into a toilet,
yeah,
and three blokes walked in behind her,
mm-hmm,
you'd stand outside comfortable.
As a 15-year-old girl,
yeah.
Possibly not.
Right.
Well, this is what I'm...
But if you walked in and three women walked in behind her,
yeah,
you won't bat an eyelid.
Possibly.
Yeah, but...
That is my point I'm making, Kirk. That is my point I'm making.
You take that and that's only one example.
Yeah, but it's all right saying that if she's walking into a male toilet.
No. Sorry, let me just say this, though. But I'd feel the same if she was walking across a field.
Yeah.
I'd feel the same if she were walking down a
general. What if they identify as women?
Yeah, but the point is, if she might be going to that toilet knowing full well that there's no men going to be walking to it, so if crossing a field,
could still walk into it. Having a sign on the door that says women doesn't... It's not a magic shield, where men get to it and go, can't go in there.
But you're generalising things there. Do you see many men, women walking in behind female toilets? No.
No, because it's not...
When you do it by accident, you go...
You're
just walking in, it's just cubicles, and you're like...
Exactly. A lot of this is psychological, and it's how we are built as a society thing. Yeah. So yes, I hear what you're saying, but as a society, this is how we are. Male and female toilets. We've never had a problem before, and that's how it should stay.
Anyway...
And that's how most people are happy.
By the way, there's only one sex that ever breaks that rule, and that's when you're at a festival... or at a high consuming event where the women's toilets are so full you randomly start seeing women decide they're going to use men's toilets.
Yeah.
Because that happens a lot.
Yeah.
And obviously, in that instance, it's just a bit of fun. Or just in the field,
or just next to a cubicle, or just behind a tree.
I just need the toilet, because at the end of the day, it's just a toilet, isn't it? And they're like, I'm just using the cubicle.
Time at the bar, please.
What I was getting at, though, sorry.
is just
moving away a little bit from the actual just two sexes sort of thing. The whole DEI is more than that, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So I get, you know, I will just say that I do believe that from a legal point, it's biological, it's your chromosomes, it's what it is. When you start looking at the whole DEI, the do we not believe that the world's a better place, that we're more diverse and more equal?
And that we're being more thoughtful about
and
the
accepting.
Whole thing. About
is that, is that not a, is that not a progression in society?
Well, I can say that every single day at work, we start with three things, right? We have to give a safety tip, we have to give a quality tip, and we have to give a DEI tip. Mm-hmm. And that's something we've at Amazon have been doing for years. Mm-hmm. Like at least in the last 6 years, we've been doing that. And it raises awareness from not only a safety standpoint and a quality standpoint from your work, but also diversity, equality, you know, making sure that it is there in your mind. We are talking about it every single day.
I'm not so sure. I think...
Does it make your workplace any better?
Well,
or is it just a tick box exercise?
Do you know, you could say it's a tick box exercise, but only for the same thing. Does the safety element make that any safer? And the quality, does that make any better? Well, no, but the fact that you've spoke about it, you've at least voiced something that makes you go, it's in your mind.
I think there's an element of rose-tinted glasses to some extent in that I think it's good that there are more people that can openly express themselves as, you know, if they're a homosexual, for example, you know, whether male or female. So I think I suppose even racial equality. The counter argument to that is there seems to be a lot more tension in the world, locally and internationally.
Yeah.
And I think although we're trying to encourage equality and inclusion, diversity, within that creates a lot of friction and where people are saying, oh, you can't say that. You can't say it. And people are almost looking at it a bit of sour grapes here, almost. Do you know what I mean? I think there's... I think it's
I think I know what you mean, Mark. Yeah, I
do you think it's fair to say, though, that the people that are feeling sour grapes, though, are the people that've never had to worry or bother about?
I don't think that's
diversity and equality.
I don't even think it comes into it. I think,
again, do you not think we can say that, though, because we've never had to experience it?
No. I think you're misunderstanding where I'm coming from. What I'm saying is, it's great that, you know, the way you're encouraging inclusion and diversity, like I said, I think there are a lot of people that are feeling that there are certain things getting imposed on them, which is why you've only got to drive your car. How many people are cutting you open, giving you the middle finger? And you know, the world out there for me is becoming ruder.
It's becoming
and a bit
more
aggressive
and more angry, isn't
so,
it?
Although there seems to be we seem to be being more progressive in the way that we think about other people, in what they stand for and that sort of thing, there was almost more of a nobody gives a shit about anybody else.
Yeah. I mean, I think
what a lot of people are doing is they want to be seen to be doing what they think is expected of them, but aren't necessarily sincere in it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I'm completely on board with you. I just think me, myself, in my brain, I think they're two very separate things. So, like, for instance, everything that you just described there, I believe that we almost, I'm not even being as strong to say that I'd call it a pandemic of self-entitlement. Of how people think, how important people think they are themselves, and how, like you said, they are only thinking of themselves and stuff.
I mean, I think we like said we like as we're getting more tolerant, but yet we're not. We're getting more selfish, I think, more than anything. And like Mark, I mean, I'm completely with Mark on this. And it, as in the world, like you know, or be, you know, be more considerate, be more this. The world's getting more.
Be kind.
You know, world's getting better. And yeah, people can be who
and
they
people
want.
People aren't being kinder, are they?
But at the same time, people can be who they want. If we're talking about sexuality, if we're talking about gay people and black people and that. But at the same time, it almost seems to be getting worse for them in some ways.
Yeah.
So, because it's getting shoved down his throat that we've got to accept everyone and anyone.
I know. I think that's certain people's opinions. Yeah. I think, and whether this is a factor or not, I'm not so sure. Where if you say right as a society, you know, anything goes, mm-hmm. do what you want, behave like as you like, then it's like, well, that's it.
It's a free for all.
It's a free for all, isn't it? Yeah, and that's the extreme, I suppose. Yeah. Of you know,
but people do take it then that one step, like, you know, if you take Sam Smith, I want to do this and I want to do, well, hang on a minute, you know what I mean? He starts taking liberties with it, you know. Okay, if you want to be gay, fine, you go off and be gay, mate. I don't have a problem with that.
Go off and be gay.
But do you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? But then he's like, well,
so 1970s.
Well, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? His sexuality is not no bother to me. Don't bother me.
Yeah.
But it's then when he's like, if I spoke to him and I said, oh, you know, and I called him A, he'd be offended by that. I'd be like, well, why are you offended? I've got it wrong. And B, if I want to call you a man, then surely that's my prerogative. If he's offended by that, then that's his problem, not mine.
That's where the lines all get blurred, isn't it?
And this is where the problem is.
I saw something online not so long ago that someone said something along the lines of, I'm fully appreciative of self-identification, but the word in there is self.
Absolutely.
And I think that's, isn't that where J.K. Rowling, weren't that her kind of angle? That yes, you self-identify however you want, and that's not a problem. But it doesn't mean that I have to identify
correct.
You like
and
that.
That's what I was coming back to when we were talking about toilets and things. Yeah. Is if you say that you are this, well, that doesn't then entitle you to something else. Mm. Because, you know, you've still got to fall within the parameters of what is acceptable, you know.
In society.
In society. Well, yeah. Yeah, because... Mm. For society to work, there has to be boundaries.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it is just a free-for-all, isn't it? Yeah. But we wouldn't have laws, we wouldn't have rules, we wouldn't have common decency even, because that's, common decency is only, you know, what is an expectation, really, isn't it? So it's not something that's written in a book.
Yeah.
And all those things have to be there for society to work.
Which comes back to your point with your Trump thing, with his male and female thing. For example, on the, I mean, I'm sure it's the same for this country, but in America, obviously, you can put an X. If you don't identify as male or female, you can put an X. Mm-hmm. I mean, how ridiculous is that? Because this is not about your sexuality, but you are either male or you're female. Yeah. Okay, you may not identify that, but that's you. But on your passport, you are one of those things. You can't just put a cross. And that comes down to documents and passports.
Yeah, yeah. Like I
and
said,
and it don't work.
Like I said, legal wise,
yeah, legal
and
stuff, wise,
and biological. That I agree. I think the most important thing for me, and this is, I do genuinely believe this. I do, is that what we have to be careful. And I suppose this is the whole thing of diversity and equality and stuff like that. Is just because somebody is in a minority, it doesn't mean that their feelings or opinions or don't matter.
Oh, absolutely.
Do you get what I mean? Well, so when we talk about...
equality.
And that's what I'm saying. So when we talk about, you know, society and them following society rules or, falling in line with society and how society works, it doesn't mean that how they feel is any less valid to how I feel about myself or whatever. Do you know what I mean? And just because they're in a minority group, it doesn't mean that their voices shouldn't be heard and their feelings, if you like, shouldn't be taken into consideration, just like we do with the majority of people.
True, but we shouldn't be changing complete passport systems or legal documents just because a handful of people don't want to identify as male or female. Why are we doing that? Just to keep them... Yeah, I mean, what is it? 0.0.1% of society don't identify as male or female.
Yeah.
So why the hell are we changing? Yeah. I don't understand. I mean, because...
It's gone really deep, this, hasn't it?
Well, I was just about to say on another note.
we thought you'd gone home.
I know, well, I was just keeping my mouth shut.
Listeners, we do funny episodes. Hopefully...
I wanted to ask, Trump... has also said that he's going to declassify some assassinations of John F. Kennedy and Martin Luther King.
He said this last time.
Well, he did, and he did actually release some documents.
Some documents, but they were heavily redacted.
And then they redacted, weren't they? Yeah. Whereas this time he said, no.
It's not going to happen.
Whether it happens or not.
It's not going to happen.
My question is, first of all, why does he want to do it? And secondly,
power.
Why are they stopping it?
Well,
tinfoil hat time.
I think, yeah, go say.
These questions as to whether the CIA were involved and all those sorts of things.
I think we've got a whole episode in that, Robbie. Yeah. If you want me to be honest about them kind of conspiracy theories, fundamentally, the answer that you would be given officially is security.
Yeah, well, from what I read, I did a very loose bit of research, and it just said that it's within the best interest of national security that we don't release these documents.
And what I would say...
somebody might say to Donald Trump, you know what happened to JFK, don't you?
Yeah. Don't be riding around in any open-top cars.
We won't miss.
Yeah. What I would say, and I genuinely live by this rule, I suppose, when it comes to politics and stuff, is that I would rather take the advice of the FBI, CIA as agencies than one guy that owns some buildings and some casinos once upon a time to what is better for the national security.
Yeah.
Is how I see it.
Yeah.
Because he's releasing them because he wants to, because he thinks that it will put him down in history. Don't forget, there's an element of what Trump does is about legacy. He wants a legacy. So therefore, him being able to go down in history as being the president that released these things and being the president that did this and the president that did that.
He's definitely going to have a legacy, but for completely different reasons. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's right up there.
Yeah. Yeah. But for me, if you've got an agency like the CIA, like the FBI, we could go on all day long about, well, are they corrupt, are they this, are they that, or the other? Yeah, that's a whole different topic. But fundamentally, they are employed, they are put in place to look after the national security of the country. And if they're saying no, then the president should listen to that.
Brilliant. Well, thank you for answering my question.
Before you spin that wheel, can we? I mean, I know we're talking about Trump, but do you not think, and this is, if you like him or not, he's in a unique position where it's almost like it doesn't matter what he does, the more he's liked. You know what I mean? I can't think of anybody in the world who could do what he does and then not get shot down for it. I mean, he does.
It's time yet.
Well, when I say shut down, but you know, I mean, but do you know what I'm saying here? I mean, because it's like, we know he lies. He completely lies through his teeth. He says things that are nonsense. He comes out with stupid stuff. He's done bad things. You know, he's not the right person really to be a president. Yet,
look,
he's on this, you know, level. Yeah, you get somebody like in our country do that, or any other country, and they'd be straight out of it. I mean, look at Boris Johnson.
So that we've got no chance of getting him on this podcast now, have we?
No. but I admire him for that, because he's so...
Look, it's been proven, it's been written in psychological books and stuff like that, whether it comes to selling, whether it comes to getting people to buy things, whether it comes to politics and stuff like that. It is all, it's emotion-driven. People vote emotionally, people support emotionally.
Absolutely.
That's why Boris Johnson is so popular, and he is still popular.
He is.
Very, very popular. And so that, because, and this is why people like Trump are popular, and it's why people, because they've tapped into to emotion. They make people feel things.
Kirk, I'm right with you on that. I'm completely right. I mean, this is why, I mean, Farage is very, very good at that. He taps into people. A lot of people like Farage. A lot of people like Boris Johnson.
Yes.
And they're very similar to Trump. However, Boris Johnson...
You're doing this thing again when you start listing loads of things, aren't you?
but Boris Johnson, you know, he was sort of cast out because of that. Farage obviously got his seat, won his seat, but he's not...
But our political system is very different to American.
It is, but people don't jump on board as much. I mean, you could say they're crazy Americans, but America, people...
Generalising.
people do get swept up in the Trump thing. Do you know what I mean? It's like this aftershave that Mark told us about in a couple of episodes. There's nobody on this planet I could think that could, you know, get assassinated. Well, he weren't assassinated, but attempted assassinate and then bring some aftershave out cold fight, and it sells like that.
Yeah,
I can't think anybody would. I mean,
he's
remarkable what he can do. And one last thing before you spin that wheel, obviously going back to his swearing in, I can't, what's the word?
Inauguration.
That's a word I can't say. Did you see all the tech bosses that were there? I mean, they were all there, weren't they?
Yeah.
I mean, do you know what I mean?
I know Elon Musk were there.
Elon Musk were there.
Name them all.
Mark Zuckerberg were there. I know I'm going to get stuck in a minute. Tim Cook was there.
He's gaffer.
Yeah.
Jeff Bezos was there. The Microsoft guy was there, but I don't know his name. What's his name? Microsoft guy.
Not Bill Gates.
The other guy was in charge of... his name?
I saw a photo of it. Again, it was online. It was on social media. But I saw a photo of it and somebody had just put underneath it, look at how much money is in this picture.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, there were a lot of important people in this room. But Ben and Clinton's were there. Obviously, Obama were there. You know, Biden. I mean, they were the list. I know. Help me out, Mark.
I'm just loving your lists.
I just think, you know, if you're gonna blow a bomb,
yeah,
blow it up then. Because, yeah. You know,
how many different bombs can you name?
Atomic.
Rob, spin the
can
wheel.
Can I spin this shopping wheel? Yeah, oh my days. This is the longest episode to date. Spin the wheel.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, it's spinning.
What's it going to be?
Oh, I'm just so excited.
Oh. Go on.
He's nearly there.
The Wheel of Features.
So all that's left to go through from last week is what the bloody hell is that? I'll give you a recap. It goes like this. Any guesses?
That was like Timmy Mallet.
Were it?
Well, yeah.
You go like this, boink. This, boink.
Everyone said blah.
Yeah.
Blah. I thought you were doing Pup Singer from Vic and Reeves.
Vic and Reeves?
No.
What do you think it is, Mark? Any ideas?
Well, I said he were a tree thing, didn't I?
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
A tree thing.
Kirk?
I don't know, mate. I'm rubbish at these. I am really, really rubbish at these.
Well, Mark will get to play because he knows.
Yeah.
Well, you're both wrong.
Okay.
So yeah, and we've had nothing from our listeners, so it'll roll over to next week.
Roll it over.
So shall we spin the wheel?
Get it spun.
Here we go.
Yes.
Oh, here we go. What's
here we go.
Be?
Here we go. Here we go. What's it gonna be?
What is it?
Yeah.
I can't see from
yours,
here.
Mark.
Oh, is it me?
Which one?
Oh, dead or alive? No.
Nope.
Oh, the other
this
one. Today in history.
Today.
Oh, I like this.
We bring to you today's broadcast.
I have a dream.
They think it's all over. It is.
It's one small step for man.
You must stay at home.
Today in history.
Oh, my brilliant. Today in history. Are we all ready? Mark's
I'm
just
ready.
Getting some nuts from bar.
Well, right. This is exciting.
So, today in history, we all know how it works. Today
yes.
in history, 14th of February.
Yeah.
St. Valentine's Day, so happy Valentine's
Day.
Yes.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day, boys.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
It's shops open.
Yeah, you can go after this.
You're at the petrol station. I'm sure there's some wilted flowers.
Happy Valentine's Day to all our listeners.
Bring a bottle of Greenwash.
Yeah. Happy Valentine's Day, everyone.
Forgot right, so that. Shall I tell you what happened this day in history then?
Yep.
Yes.
It's not all about love, so don't worry. So let's all go back, all the way back to 19... no, not 19. To 1779.
I'm going to say start
1779. So this day in history, 14th of February, Captain James Cook was stabbed. Right, let me turn the page over. Right, he was stabbed. What's so funny?
You only got five words on that side?
Yeah, because we're not out of space. He was stabbed in Hawaii. Right, and I didn't know he was stabbed even. But when I say stabbed, I mean as in stabbed and he died.
All right.
I don't mean he's stabbed and like he
so
went
murdered.
To hospital. So yeah, murdered. Yeah. Right. I didn't know. I didn't know he was stabbed in a way. Because he was attempting to kidnap the island chef. That's why he was stabbed. So the chef of the island stabbed him and he died. Bear in mind, this is Captain James Cook.
Wow.
Right.
Yeah. He's renowned for being hard, isn't he?
14th of February. So 1859, Oregon became the 33rd state to join the USA, as in the United States of America.
What year?
1859.
Wow.
What, do you remember it?
No, I'm just trying to think, because what is it now? Was it 52 states? 50 states? 52 states?
52 states, or is there 54? I don't know.
Whatever,
am I right in thinking, is there 52 stars on the flag, but there's 54 states? Or is it, or am I getting, or am I making it?
No, but it sounds good.
We'll go with it.
I'm making it up, yeah. Maybe. So, 1876. Yeah, that's after that. So, Alexander Graham Bell. We all know who he is, don't we?
Yeah.
He created the telephone, didn't he?
Yes. He applied for the patent, should I say. Not patent. But the patent for the telephone, right?
Yeah.
But also, somebody else did on the same day. Elisha Gray. So two of them applied for a patent for it.
Wow.
But of course we know who got it.
Yeah.
Alexander Graham Bell.
Wow.
Yeah, same day. How bizarre. Bear in mind they were both inventing things on that. Yeah. 1876, on the same day, Heinz was founded, as in the Heinz. You're looking at me as if you don't know what Heinz.
Is that written on the tin? Oh, no, that's the varieties.
Varieties, Heinz 57,
yeah, 57
is it?
Yes.
You think that, but it's no longer written on the tin.
Oh, is it not?
No, it used to be.
Because there's more than 57
varieties. But they took
varieties.
It off. Yeah, that's right.
Oh. Yeah.
But you're right.
They've got about 17 different tins of beans now, aren't they?
I don't know.
Oh, they've got
17
all sorts.
Different sorts of beans. Beans. Like curry beans and stuff like that?
Yeah, curry beans and yeah.
Did that happen?
Beans.
Did that happen 14th of December?
No.
14th of February, I mean?
No.
No.
What's next?
1912, Arizona became the 48th state of America to join the USA. But what's weird about that? 1859, Oregon joined. But then 1912, Arizona joined. It's almost as if like they can only join on that day. They can join any day, by the way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But how was all that?
Very interesting.
So 1929. This is more keeping up to date with Valentine's Day, and you guys will sort of know this. Was the St. Valentine's Day Massacre?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
1929.
Yes.
So what happened there?
Never heard of it? You've never heard of it. You've heard of it, haven't you? You've heard of it, Kurt.
Yes, I've heard of it.
You've never heard of the Saint Valentine's
you
Day Massacre.
You can't say it.
I can't. It took place in Chicago, and obviously
it took place like it was
took
an
place.
Event.
Well, it was on orders from Al Capone. Obviously, you know the famous Chicago
gangster. Yeah.
How many were real? You know, he weren't like he's not like Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah.
And seven people were killed in this massacre.
All right, okay.
And that's why it's called that. Did you not never heard of the
Saint? No, I didn't know. There must be a film about it.
Wow, okay. So,
I don't know, so.
1852. There's not that much happening on Valentine's Day. 1852, London's...
Why have you gone backwards?
Yeah, it's because it's on the second page of my sheet. Oh. So I'm sorry. It's because I'm...
Letting me down
I've
now.
I've run out.
Chronological, Mark.
I know. We'll re-record it. 1852, London's Great Ormond Street Hospital opens. In 1852.
Oh, wow.
Right. 1984, nothing happened.
We jumped
a bit there. 1984, Torvald and Dean win the Winter Olympics, you know, ice skating.
Oh, yeah.
And they get, obviously, the perfect score. They get all nines.
Ooh.
Remember that? Can you remember it?
No, I was only one.
Oh, did you remember it, Mark?
No, I don't remember it.
Like, I watched it
at the time.
I watched it on Tower 14.
Oh, I've seen the Bolero.
The Bolero,
yeah.
Yeah,
I had to do it every year on Dancing on Ice.
Yeah.
I
know.
2005, more recent. This is one for you, Rob, and well, for all of us, really. YouTube was founded.
Oh.
In 2005.
Oh, wow.
And its domain name was activated, although it launched on the December 15th, 2005.
Right, so later in the year.
Yeah. So it was founded on this day. And the domain name was activated. So,
domain.
But it didn't launch until December 2005.
So, do you know how much Google paid for YouTube?
When they acquired it?
Yeah.
Nope. I don't.
So 1.6 billion.
Right.
They paid for it. Do you know how much it's worth now?
Oh.
1.2.
No. 468 billion.
Wow.
It's not a bad investment, is it? Return on investment.
I mean, they knew they were going to get on that. So, last day in history, then, I've got some other facts. 2006, chip and pin was introduced. Remember?
Wow, that late?
2006.
I used to like watching them. Rescue Rangers.
That's it, Mario, yeah. Chip and pin.
Wow.
So, famous birthdays. Not many famous birthdays today. The only person, there's other famous people, but not people we would know. It's Simon Pegg's birthday. That's the only celebrity person I could find.
There are other famous people, but not people we would know.
That's exactly what I said.
Well, happy birthday, Simon Pegg.
Yeah. He was born in 1978, and he's 54 years old.
Some of these famous people that we don't know.
Next time I get my day in history,
I'm going to grab you a thesaurus.
I'm going to read these names out, these famous people, and you're going to never heard of them, and I'm sure you won't have. So, National Days today.
Another assumption.
Listen, I'll do it next time. I'm going to read these. I mean, they're not even celebrities, they're famous
Adjective.
People.
known about by many people.
I'm going to put it, I'll do it for next one. I'll read these famous people and you'll go, never heard of them, never heard of them. National days then, as I do. So it's National Organ Donor Day. Right. I mean, that's a bit of a weird day. On Valentine's Day, organ, I mean, who thought of that? Really good idea. And it's National Ferris Wheel Day.
Ferris Wheel Day.
I mean, they're pointless. And as usual, if it's your birthday today, happy birthday, you would have been conceived on the May 24th.
On the May.
Was that a ship?
You were conceived on the May 24th.
And a horse got a mane.
Travelling across the Atlantic.
Do you mind? This is my feature. I don't want you guys butting in. Well, so that's today in history on 14th of February.
Well done, Mark.
Thank you.
Brilliant.
Thanks.
Yes.
Thank you.
Brilliant.
On that note, I'm definitely
we'll
ready.
See you next week. Right.
See you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you for your continued support with our independent podcast. Did you know that you can interact with us and other listeners on Facebook on the Chat In Tap Room Facebook group? You can also get in touch via email in the chat at gmail.com and of course on any of our socials. Thank you, and we'll see you next week.